Right now, I'm pleased to tell you that James Whitford is with us, and he has worked in the medical field as both a physical therapist and wound care specialist for more than 10 years, graduated University of Kansas Medical Center in 1997, and then went on to get his doctorate in therapy, founded a wound care clinic in southeast Kansas, taught in the areas of anatomy and biomechanics. They also run some nonprofits working with the poor, and we're going to talk a little bit about welfare reform. And so with that, James, welcome to the program. Glad to have you on Overnight America. How are you?
I'm fine, Gary. Thanks for having me tonight. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here, too. I'm reading this, welfare, connecting nonprofits, educating community leaders, advocating for improved public policy. What are we referring to? How are you doing this?
Yeah, sure. Well, so just to give you a little bit of background, my wife and I co-founded a mission in Southwest Missouri about 18 years ago now. And, you know, you get into work like that because you have a compassion for people. You want to help them. You see need in your community. You want to do something about it. And as we began to invest a significant portion of our lives to try to help people, we realized that there were some things that were hindering us. There were hurdles that were in our way to really help empower people to make sure that they're being equipped with what they need to elevate out of poverty, and they were government hurdles. And so, when we got involved with this kind of work, we never expected that we would take such an interest in policy. But we've found that bad policy that may be intended to help people can actually hurt them.
Are you talking about welfare specifically?
Well, I am. Welfare, there are a number of things, but certainly welfare has been a problem for us in our work. And it has to do with human nature. Human nature is to try to find the easiest way out of whatever the situation is that's difficult for you. And if you have the low-hanging fruit of welfare that's easily accessible for people who are struggling on a day-to-day basis, they'll tend toward that kind of a solution rather than to one that is going to end up resolving poverty in their lives. And that always involves challenge, Gary. So our programs and our mission are challenge-oriented. They're work-oriented. And, of course, very compassionate. We care about people, but we certainly want to see people even earn the very basics that they need. It's one of the unique features of our mission, folks, whether they need food or shelter or clothing or whatever the basic need is, they partner for that in our Worth Shop. We call it a Worth Shop because we believe work awakens worth in people's lives. And we have other challenging aspects to what we do at our mission. But then again, when you have various aspects of welfare that are easily accessed, it can be quite a diversion from things that might better people's lives.
You know, there was a Democrat from New York, a senator. His name was Daniel Patrick Moynihan, and he did a review of welfare for which he was scolded by the left, implying that this is going to result in single-family households, that children are going to be raised without a father, and that that's going to have all kinds of pathologies developing further down the road. It really was it was a polemic on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a Democrat.
Yeah, well, yeah, he nailed it because that's exactly what we see. And it really does make a lot of sense. I mean, one of the things that helps us work through problems in our own family is the fact that we need one another. And if we've got a paternal state that steps in to take the place of a parent or a husband in a family, then we're going to see that nuclear family being divided more often. Certainly that's something that we see in America today.
So when you're trying to mentor somebody, trying to help them get on their feet, kind of give me an idea of how welfare gets in the way. Is it they just don't want to do it because they can get on welfare, or is it that, you know, they don't really apply themselves because they can fall back on it?
Well, right. So let me give you an example of a guy named John who came into our long-term program. Now, this is a very intensive program. It's a year of work and character development and work readiness. And so this man came into our program and ended up doing well. He's now an over-the-road truck driver and has his own place, and he's not on any welfare. It's a great success story. But the point is that when John was making that decision to come into our program, he at that point was about to qualify for early SSI disability. He had a HUD housing voucher that would have given him free housing for a year. He had food stamps as well. And he had to give all of that up in order to come into our program. And the words that he said are not ones I'll soon forget. He said it was the hardest decision that he'd ever made in his entire life, to give up that benefit package to take us up on the offer of work and challenge model that was going to really help him in the long run. Now, so it worked well for John, but I think you and I both know, and your listeners as well, that there are millions of Americans that might have the same opportunity but don't make that decision because it's just too difficult a decision to make. Like John was saying, I mean, to walk away from a package, he called it a government package, to walk away from a government package like that for something better for his life is not something that a lot of people are willing to do.
Well, if the government, in its benevolence, is willing to take my money and a variety of other people's and give somebody, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 a year in benefits, for instance, free health care, food stamps, with SNAP, mm-hmm. and the EBT card, where you get a little cash and a little walking around money. Why would you go take a minimum wage job? Why would you give all that up and go to work when it's easier to just sit on your derriere and collect it? It is, I think, one of the greatest obstacles to productivity in the country.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And again, we're coming back to human nature. And it's just human nature to try to solve your problem the easiest way, to take the easiest way out. Apart from virtuous conviction, we're always going to take the easy way out. And that's just the way it works. But what's so sad is that, you know, people on in that position think that they're better off, but the truth is, and research shows that the working poor, they're happier than the welfare poor, and in fact, the working poor are more generous than those who aren't. And so there's a lot of benefit to earned success, and yet, unless people have an opportunity to really taste that and know that, they're not going to discover it, and then they get stuck and they're trapped in a system that we've created through bad policy.
James Whitford, our guest. So what is it you want to see happen? You're linking nonprofits. Is that the point? Or are you saying states need to cut back on welfare?
Right, both. I think it's important for not-for-profits to connect in a community. We live in an age right now, technologically, where we're able to share information and operate more cohesively as a unit in a city. So we help with that, but we also help do a lot of education and rethinking charity. I think that in the long run, what we've really got to do is begin to think about how can we start to replace aspects of state-funded programs, welfare, with local, privately funded, effective and compassionate charity. And so we have to begin to swing the pendulum back, you know, where it was 100-plus years ago. And I think that we've got the ability now to be more effective in our work in some ways. And we just simply cannot afford as a nation to continue to foot the bill for the welfare that we're spending right now. And again, we find that it really does distract people from what's going to better them in the long run. So it's a sad outcome, and we just need to make the change.
So, you know, what's the call to action for listeners, James?
Well, I think I would say, you know, visit our website, truecharity.us.
What was that? True Charity?
It's true. Yeah, it's True Charity. Truecharity.us. So truecharity.us, and that'll begin helping people get educated and to think about what is real effective charity all about. And then I would encourage listeners to connect with and resource well, volunteer at charities that are doing good work in your community that are not taking government money. They're privately funded, and they're doing compassionate, effective work. Bolster that work. Bolster those efforts and strengthen them in your own communities. And then also, at the same time, I think we have to come from a policy side as well. So be engaged with your legislators at the state level, at least, and let them know, hey, you know, there's a lot of welfare problems in our community. What are we going to do about it? And maybe they can actually take to their legislators information about the very charities that are doing great work in their own cities.
All right, James, give them that website one more time.
Sure. TrueCharity.us.
TrueCharity.us. James, thank you for spending a few minutes with us this evening.
Yeah, thank you, Gary, for having me. Have a great night.
You too. Glad to have you on Overnight America.